Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the most feared creatures in European folk and fairy tales is the dragon. We've all heard the stories. The dragon is the cunning old worm who sleeps on his gold and whispers lies. He rides the winds over the kingdom. He belches fire upon unsuspecting peasants. He gobbles up sheep, and he absconds with screaming royalty. In the tales, of course, it is only a princely knight with a sharp sword and stout shield that can kill the dragon. And sisters and brothers, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but in our gospel reading this morning, there is a dragon. A dragon that slithers through the words. 40 days past Jesus' baptism, this ancient worm crosses the wilds. He is the Lucifer of Isaiah's vision and the jeweled cherub of Ezekiel's oracle. Once this morning star angel walked between the stones of fire on Eden's summit, but then the fateful, the devilish conceit. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But cast then from heaven, the rebel spirit falls to earth's clay. Angry and twisted red with the blush of envy, Lucifer watches pride spiderweb through his celestial veins. And from the ashes of his cherubim beauty rises the red dragon of Saint John's Apocalypse, a scarlet serpent lord of flies and rot. Now the dragon lives in the dry waste places, doomed to swallow dust and bruise his body on wagon ruts when his wings grow tired. Here in the lost roads between the worlds, he coughs and straggles on wind and red wing. But this Satan, this accuser, has not lost his jealous worldly wisdom or his aspirations towards divinity. His forked tongue still flickers cunning. His stomach still belches false fire. If he cannot overcome God, he will attack and destroy the image of God. He will mar God's miracle creation, that marriage of spirit and flesh, human beings. And so he swoops and carries Adam and Eve away to death through deception. And now the great dragon comes again. For Jesus of Nazareth fasts and prays in the wilderness. And the great worm alights beside the sunburnt man. Three times he attacks. Three times his liquid syllables race with deceitful fire. If you are the Son of God, make your life easier. You deserve to be your own little God seated on the world's throne. How could God ask a cross of you? Just bow a knee to me and do things my way. I will give you the kingdom you deserve without suffering. Sisters and brothers, we are often not quite sure what to do with the devil, especially in the Western world where we tend to roll our eyes at stories of things that go bump in the night or even exorcisms. But the truth is that the devil is all too real. St. Peter warns us, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You see, every day the dragon flies into the wilderness of our lives. He attacks us with his smooth words and belches of false fire. If you are the sons and daughters of God, then make your lives easier. You deserve to be your own little God, seated on the world's throne. How could God ask a cross of you? Just bow a knee to me and do things my way. We toss and turn on our pillows, and the dragon whispers, "How could Bob say that in the breakout meeting? After all you've done for him, let's think of all the ways that you could get even and prove that you are the God in this situation, the one in control. Bow the knee to me in my way." We gaze at the soft hair and the perfect eyebrows across the room, and the dragon swoops in. "You are a god. They are but a husk, a thing for your pleasure. Imagine what you could do with them. Bow the knee to me in my way. Become the god of your fantasy that you deserve to be." We finger the balance sheet. Our mistake is right there, typed out for everyone to see. Our boss leans across the table. "Did you make these calculations?" And the dragon slithers to your side. "Max. Say Max. Max did it. No one will know. And Max is so behind and so scatterbrained that even he'll think he messed up. Take control. Be the God that you deserve to be. Bow the knee to me and my way." Again and again, Lucifer attacks us, tempts us. And so often we forget our baptisms in the Jordan River, and the devil's onslaught overwhelms us. "It's too hard in this wilderness world. I'm going to take control and be the God in this situation. I'm going to enjoy what I deserve." And we usually end up charred peasants or screaming nobles, carried away by the dragon. But this morning, the anointed prince, Messiah Jesus, the knight of the tale, remembers his baptism in the Jordan. As his belly rumbles and his hands shake with his fast, the Nazarene ponders the words from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And these are words of wonder and terror, for Jesus knows what they really mean. Always Israel and the nations look for ways to kill God, to take the side of the dragon. And so if Jesus is God's Son, heir to the kingdom, Jesus will and must die. And so the dragon hurls his temptations. "You don't have to die on the cross. You can be the king of the world without suffering. Just show yourself powerful. Show yourself in control. A few magic tricks and a bended knee to me, and you can be the Messiah that you deserve to be." But Jesus lifts the shield of faith and deflects the devil's deceitful fire. Jesus lets go of control and trusts his Father. And fragments of Scripture come to mind. "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And so the knight, with sun blisters on his forehead and dust on his feet, hurls the sword of his virtue into the red worm's breast. Sisters and brothers, the devil attacks us every day, and we often fall. Living a holy life is hard. And the devils, the dragons, tempting words slither into our brains. Take control. Be God. But this morning, you and I can say, no. Because Jesus invites us to participate in his humble victory over the devil. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, says Jesus. And he fills us with his spirit to lift his shield of faith and to fling his sword of virtue into Satan's breast. He calls us into his humility. In moments of temptation, we must not rest in our own power, our own strength. We don't have to prove that we are some kind of God. St. James puts it this way, and St. Peter agrees in his epistle, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when the dragon whispers in your ear, fall on your knees and pray. Pray. Shout scripture to the sky. It will be hard. It will be very hard. But as you pray and fight, Jesus' Spirit will lift your shield arm. He will sling your sword arm forward. Do not underestimate your foe, but also do not despair of your foe. Because the princely knight has bested the dragon. Jesus has cast down Satan, and he gives you his strength, his faith, and his virtue for the fight. And with those in hand, with those energizing us, we need not be afraid, because we can then say no. We can then fight, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. For he has defeated the dragon. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.